Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Conspiracies, curiosity, spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. Mothman sightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's Hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's Hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Welcome back to the shack where the truth is found. I'm Wilbur.
I'm Daniel.
I about said I'm Daniel. About did it. Not today, though. Yep, the truth is found here. You come here to seek truth. This is the place to find it. We, you know, we're like a magnet. If you attract what you want to.
What?
What you want. You attract the energy you put out. And we're putting out truth energy today.
Are we?
So we're all of our truth seekers out there, you've come to the right place. Welcome to The Shack.
I didn't even want to do the show today.
I'm on the fence myself.
I'm just sad.
Why?
All the friggin' people that probably need murdered.
Well, I mean, that's every day. You can't change that. You can focus on the other things, though.
Like what?
You know, like hopefully them not poisoning the sky one day, and we can actually go to the supermarket and buy food and not have to worry about what it's been sprayed with. Oh. Maybe one day, not in our lifetime.
What's the name of the actor that, or not the actor, the comedian? He does acting, though. He was in the Mandalorian series. Red, he's bald head, like red little beard. He's always yelling. He's friends with like Bert and them. And
Bert.
Joe. Bert Crasher and Joe Rogan.
Oh, you say it like we know them.
No, I just.
Okay. Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Talking about how we need to, like, he was talking about the Nestle CEO.
Yeah.
How he thinks water's not a human right.
The Nestle CEO?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's talking about that guy needs shot in the back of the head, and then like a month later, you know, the healthcare guy gets shot in the back of the head. Well, not the back of the head, in the chest a couple times.
In the back of the leg. And then, yeah, he was murdered.
Yeah. You sad about it? We talked about it a couple weeks ago now. Just seeing if it's changed.
I'm sad that human life was lost. I guess I'm remorseful in that. And maybe about the way it went about, however, actions have consequences.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when you deny people health care, which I think health care should be a human right, I don't think anyone should have to go bankrupt from getting sick or getting some disease, you know, that's not of their fault, of their own, and then they lose everything because they can't afford to pay the health bills because their health insurance doesn't cover it, because you have some rare disease that for some reason just doesn't fall under their claws, even though you've been paying for it your whole work life, and somehow it's not enough money. They don't have enough money. And then you got to pay a deductible. That's over $10,000. So by the time you spend all that, you don't have any money left.
It doesn't sound like you're too sad.
And then
it started off.
Over half the people that live in this country can't afford a $1,000 emergency, which now I think that number has been reduced to like $600 emergency. It's like 70% of the people or 80% of the people in this country can't afford a $600 emergency. And
I mean, keep in mind, that's like a hot water heater going out.
Yeah.
You know, $1,000 emergency.
Well, no, now they got to get a loan. Now they got to get credit. And now they're
steal stuff.
Steal stuff. Now they're a debt slave to the system that they want you to be. They want you to be a debt slave, because if you're not a debt slave, you might actually have a free thought and think for yourself, because you actually have time to do it.
I'm just going to say it again. It doesn't sound like you're very remorseful. I think you lied to the people.
Well, I don't advocate murder, ever. Now, public execution, that's a whole different story. Execution's different.
I think it's coming.
I think we're beyond this thing. We're all too soft anymore. This technology and this lifestyle, the American lifestyle, has made us soft.
Revolution wasn't a 2% tax on Tea Party?
I don't even think it was 2%.
It was
2% on the tea, and they started throwing people, the tea in the water first.
Everybody murdered each other.
Yeah, over 2%. Now look at us. It's almost 50%.
My wife's is 43% in taxes, in insurance and all that garbage. You mad?
And then you got to pay taxes on your taxes, and then
You pay money. You pay every time you move money. Whether you get paid, you spend, income.
It's all a scam, people. We're living in a scam. It's a big Ponzi scheme.
I don't have the energy. I'm worried I don't have the energy for what needs to happen.
That's the point, though. They've made it that way. They've made us complacent.
If I end up getting the thing this weekend, I wonder if our buddy from the Carolinas will mount a turret on the front for me.
Oh, I know he would. 100% he would. And they're making us apathetic, and they're making us lethargic through the food we eat, through the media we consume, through everything.
And in the Discord, somebody posted this today. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't want to read who posted it.
Okay.
In case they don't want me to.
I'm going to guess, though. Pew, pew.
Nope.
Okay, go on.
No. It's a song. It's the ladies' name song. Just a little, I can't remember it. Just a little bit of chloride in your water. Just a little bit of heavy metals in your food. Just a little bit of, fragrance in your perfume. Just a little bit of benzene in your sunscreen. Just a little bit of aluminum in your deodorant. PFOs. It just is just going that song. The little bit of Monica in my
life. Oh, Mamba number 5.
Mamba number 5. It's a whole thing with all this.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wait, how would you rebrand that? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the...
Monsanto number 5.
Yeah, Monsanto number 5.
Dead cows and cancer. Whatever the sound cancer makes is just the Monsanto theme song.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Little glyphosate in your food. You won't be alive for a couple years. You might be okay, but... I don't know.
I fear I don't have the energy for what needs to happen.
And after a couple years, it'll melt your skin and face away. I don't know.
There's it's called The Book. I just seen this. I don't know if it's real.
Book?
I was going to buy one, but they're like $200. Okay, it's a book, a hardbound book. It's supposed to be, because, you know, we talk about this when after all of the politicians and CEOs have to go away in the upcoming revolution. You know, it's going to be really hard to restart, you know, societies in small scale. So this book was designed to kind of be a catch-all book for all that stuff, from how to make simple batteries, how to smelt metal, how to garden,
the
how
old
to do
ways.
Horticulture.
Is it called The Old Ways?
No, it's just called The Book.
It's called The Book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just like, but it's everything. It has some advanced technologies in it and some really ancient stuff. Like, it's a good mix. Mm. It's almost your Christmas present, but I couldn't find a person that had one I could actually like take a, like just pictures of. I wanted to see what the inside looked like.
Okay.
To make sure it was real.
Yeah, not a scam.
Because it was like $200.
It's a scam, probably.
It has probably good reviews. I probably just
give you a PDF version online that has huge. Half the pages. Yeah, exactly.
It's huge. The book.
Huge. It's the biggest.
It
the
looks
book.
like a Bible at church, like the
like a Masonic Bible,
like the ceremonial Bible at the front of the church.
Yes, yeah. I know
like
what you're talking about.
Massive Bibles. It looks like that.
Like the ones that like the.
But like how to make a battery? How to smelt metal? But then there's horticulture and what plants need propagation versus seeds versus clipping.
Because
there's a big thing. Like I think it's. Figs and raspberries, you know, it's much easier to either, if you're going to move them, it's much easier to do clippings and take seeds.
Right, yeah.
So it's like cloning. Anyways, it's just like that. I just think about that a lot is the after. I mean.
I think that what's the solution is not just, I think maybe not a full on just revolution, but a soft revolution. Whereas in, we all, you know, break away into our small little communities and just survive and form a functioning society on a small scale.
I think you have to get rid of the top for that to work first.
And they can just buzz off. And they try to come into your area, you just move. I'm living the American dream. You leave.
I think you have to feed them to, like, axolotls.
Well, I would do that. You have a moat around the outside of the property.
Parareses. The little catfish will swim up your pee hole. Just put them in a big tank of those.
There you go.
Here you guys go. Our Parareses Sue, the bullet catfish, the one that'll eat a hole in your side and get inside of you and start eating you while you're alive.
Oh, yeah, we could do those.
You ever seen those?
I have not, but
we
I
were monsters. He did it one time because older people
and
kids.
Oh, yeah, they find the holes.
You find a hole in their whole cavity.
Yeah.
And they have been documented eating people alive.
Oh, gosh, that's nuts.
Yeah. That's a big tank of those.
Yeah. That's a good idea. A dunk tank.
A dunk tank.
That way you can throw a ball and it's still fun. Tank. Yeah, it's still fun.
You know how people just get a piranhas and they're not that big and bad? It's these guys.
These are the bad ones. These are the baddies.
Or we could keep tasing a bull shark. Get them real angry.
And then drop them in the dunk tank.
Drop them in there.
Careful. You know, we could kill it. I don't know.
What are we talking about today?
Let's be nice to the bull sharks, remember? Not to the CEOs. Politicians. What are we talking? Well, there's some I like, but.
Yeah, you're a liar.
I think there's some that actually look out for us. And his name's Thomas Massey.
Wilbur's a shill.
I believe in Thomas Massey. You point out something he's ever said that you disagree with. Anything.
I really don't know.
You point out one bill he signed that you disagree with. That's right. I just check people's history. You know, people's actions will tell you who they are a lot faster than their words will. That's for sure.
I've never seen somebody lie more. In the ice fishing community.
About what?
Everybody asking the ice is still good, and everybody's like, no, don't come up. And it is. Gotcha. There's been people put videos of like the day's date. Like,
yeah. They just don't want you there.
Yeah. It's just, I've never seen people lie more than anything.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, understanding how the fine art market, that's art market is weird for whatever is wrong with my brain.
Okay.
Saying those two.
Art market?
Yeah. I want to say fart market, fine art market.
I mean, art or farts. That's what my...
How the wealthy use these for tax evasion.
Yes.
So anybody ever wonder, there's a Batman skit about this.
Okay.
With Bruce Wayne. So anybody ever wonder how all these million and billionaires get away? I'll read the whole article here in a second. I'm just going to give you the short of it now. How they get away with not paying taxes. And it's through stuff like this. So what they do... is they find a known artist, like a famous artist that has highly valuable paintings or art pieces now.
Or they create one.
Which is
a famous artist.
Too,
yeah.
That they do. None of them are real. Mm-hmm. They're all created. Of modern day.
Most modern art, yes.
We're going to bring up the banana here in a minute.
Andy Warhol.
No.
Oh, it's not Andy Warhol?
No, the guy that just did it this year.
Oh, okay. Another one.
He had a banana. No, just a banana taped to a wall.
Right, yep.
It sold for like $80 million or something stupid. So what they do...
Modern art. Modern. We're so advanced.
It's banana and duct tape on a wall.
We're so advanced.
So what they do is they buy art from a known artist. They have to be... It can't be some unknown artist for what we're talking about for this, like these big level multi-million dollar exchanges. You can do it on small scale for lesser known artists for thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars. But when we're talking about multi-million dollar things. This, you know, talking about these known artists. What are you doing?
I'm Googling that banana. I just want to puke.
Just a banana.
It sold for $6.2 million. You know what the name of the piece was called?
Banana on a Wall.
Comedian.
Oh, because you're all idiots.
Mm.
Anyways, so they buy a piece like the banana on the wall for $8 million. They have it appraised for like $40 or $50 million. They then donate the piece to a charity.
For the 40
or $50 million. And then they can write off the rest of it. So they spend $8 million to get $40 million in write-offs.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, yeah. Scheme.
And they do it, I think it was one guy, he went to an art show and bought everything. And everybody hated him.
Because
mm-hmm. there's people collecting. And it was like a multi-collection. And he never looked at any of the paintings. Never looked at any of the sculptures. Never looked at any of them. He just went and bought everything because that's what he was doing.
Because
mm-hmm. It was one of the New York Art Exchange like shows. Yeah. And some of the pieces were kind of cool. There was real art mixed in with the garbage.
For sure.
Old dogs. Have you ever seen the sculpted dogs?
Sculpted?
So they're stone.
Okay.
But they look like, did you ever have any sock pets? Like old school. I had some from my grandparents. Where they make animals out of, like, new socks. They Mm-mm. make toys.
I have not, no.
So they used to make dogs out of socks.
Okay.
Like, full-size dogs. You know, there'd be 8 or 9 socks with, like, hay or whatever stuffed in them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a toy for, you know, kids that couldn't afford toys, right? Mm-hmm. So he started doing stone sculptures of those sock dogs that would, like, lay on the corner. They look like a dog, how a dog would lay or sleep.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was a couple of those in there. I thought they were neat because...
Interesting.
It's a cool thing from the past that he's doing, and I think it was stone. It may have been plaster, I guess.
Right, yeah.
But it was heavy, you know. It wasn't
a sock filled with hay.
It was neat. I liked it, but the guy went there. That's how these guys do it. So I'll read the whole article, but that's just like kind of the quick of it.
Okay.
And Wilbur has a history with the art industry.
Oh, for sure I do, yeah.
And he's an appraiser.
An appraiser?
Mm-hmm.
I am not an appraiser. I'll tell you, it sucks.
Well, after I looked at the Smithsonian people that are listed as art appraisers, you don't need any credentials.
You don't at all. And I'll tell you that from my own experience. You have zero.
Or to be an appraiser or a critic?
Both.
I think it's $80 million.
Exactly. It means nothing, especially when they've diminished, modern art has diminished the idea of art today. Because, you know, typically when you think of something that, like art, when you're trying to create something beautiful.
Yeah, you think of, I mean, if you tell me art, I mean, obviously my grandmother's art, but I think of like Van Gogh and...
Just something nice to look at that took effort.
We did the Toledo Art Institute Museum and everything up until the 70s I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even care for it. It wasn't that I liked it. I thought it was quality.
Appreciated it.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like not my kind of stuff, but... It was quality. And then once you got to the 70s, it was like half and half. And then the closer you got to modern art, it just got...
Garbage.
Yeah.
At some point, they flipped from having actual skill and talent with manipulating and using the media, you know, whether it be painting or whatever your art is. There was a point where it flipped, where it wasn't the skill anymore. It became the thought, where it was...
I think it's the driving factor is this art tax thing. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
It's because artists are too hard to work with.
That can be a thing. Absolutely, yes.
Like creative types. I mean creative types. And I mean, it's not a negative thing necessarily.
No, but they have a vision.
But creative types are very hard to work with on a commercial setting.
Because they have a vision and they want to put out a quality product at the end of the day. Like their best quality.
It may take 3 weeks. It may take 3 years.
Exactly.
So the commercial side of it where I need you to do 12 paintings for me this year.
Now. Like, do it now.
I have no care what they are.
Right, yeah.
So that's how you start getting banana on the wall or dot on a screen or, you know, all that garbage.
Or Jackson Pollock.
Bad with artists and art.
He was one of the first main ones that are famous ones that they just took the paintbrush, you know, and just sprinkled paint all over the painting canvas in different colors. And the art was, look at all these cool colors and the way he made this painting. Look at the way he did it. Wow.
I hate the spin. But, you ever seen the cans that spin around?
Spin. It's the same thing.
They're selling for 15, 16, 18 grand.
Look at this modern art. No, it's not modern. The art in it is the art in it is not the final product of those, in my opinion, because the final product's nothing at the end of the day. The art in that was building the contraption to do that. That's it.
It wasn't a contraption. It was strings on a fan.
Strings on a... But still, that's something, you know, to cut the hole in the paint can and make the...
Sure, it's something.
And that's it, though. But that's it. That's where I draw the line. Your final product, what you got there, you didn't... You set it up to something... Like, you set it up to be made, but you're not specifically laying paint to canvas in a specific way that you want. You're letting chance paint the painting, not you. So that's not, like... Anything, the creative part in that was setting up the whole rig.
You ever seen the elephant that paints its elephants?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an argument whether it's trained, there's an argument whether it knows what it's painting or not, right? Okay. Whether they train it to paint that shape.
Okay.
Or it knows that that's what an elephant looks like and I'm painting an elephant. It's better than most people can draw an elephant.
Yeah, 100%.
That's art. The elephant's painting. It's just crazy to me that most of the stuff we're going to talk about, there's an elephant and... I think it may be India, which is horrible for the elephant. For a country that respects animals, quote unquote, there sure have a lot of elephants with steel chains on them.
I think that's only cows.
Oh, that they respect?
Yeah.
They talk about it in a lot of temples, respecting snakes, respecting. I'm just saying there's a lot of elephants with chains on them.
Well, they respect snakes because that's the Naga and that's the reptilian overlords. Mm. So they have to, if they follow the Naga, they have to respect the snakes because that's their gods.
So, how the wealthy use art for tax evasion. This is by Gavin Coates.
Okay, I just hope I didn't offend nobody.
So I moved on.
I could tell.
Just glanced over it.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't that doctor from this morning.
Yeah, all that jumped onto the Cryptocorn guys. I was in there listening to them this morning. And
talking about killing himself.
Yeah, what the heck is that all about?
Somebody help. Soon he'll meet God.
I think he was just a spam guy for suicide prevention, service, but was a scam, like a scam service, which is horrible to be scamming people on suicide prevention. But
they will scam you on anything.
Yes.
Hey, one of my favorite videos I like watching is when they... Like, hey, I don't know any names, but hey, I can see you sitting in your office right now. And they send the screenshot because they hacked into the cameras.
Yep, it's the best. When they scam a scammer.
And they freak out.
Yep, or they delete all the files on their computer.
Or they transfer all of the money back over.
To them, yes.
No, yeah. Ma'am!
Yeah.
Ma'am!
Give me my, I need that $40,000 back.
Just screaming.
And, yep, they get so mad. But you know how mean they are to people until once the script flips on them? Oh, they become the most toxic.
Nasty
people, yes.
There's probably room in the Pararisu tank for them, too.
Absolutely, yes.
There's going to be some big Pararisu.
Hey, wait, what are you calling it?
Pararisu.
Oh, okay. I thought the Pararisu map or something.
No, Pararisu.
Yeah.
South American.
Okay.
The fine art market has long been celebrated as a role in preserving culture, showcasing human creativity and enhancing public life. But the ultra wealthy exploit the art market for tax evasion using methods like inflated donations, like-kinded exchanges, and free ports.
Mm.
We'll talk about these. That's good. A decent article. I don't know any of this. I kind of knew the gist of it. I didn't know how they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Which shields, in America alone, hundreds of billions from taxes.
Hmm.
And limits public access to cultural treasures.
Well, that you're talking about shields and hoards, hundreds of thousands of dollars, like for the general public, right?
Hundreds of
millions.
Hundreds of billions.
Billions, sorry.
With a B, big.
That's throughout the general public, no, you know, the working class people.
The top 1% of the top 1%.
Oh.
Like eight guys are doing this and one lady. Eight guys and one lady.
So you mean just like regular, normal, everyday people that, you know, kind of do everything to make this country function and run and just be a functioning society, civilization. They don't have access to...
The big parasites.
Any of this? Oh, that's what they are?
Yeah, the guys that are doing this.
Oh, they're parasites,
like
yes.
I said, eight guys and a lady.
Yeah.
Okay. Beneath the surface of the vibrant industry lies a more clandestine use of art by the ultra-wealthy as a powerful tool for tax evasion. Throughout a complex financial measurements involving tax deductions, like-kind exchanges, in strategic use of free ports, art has become a favorite asset for those seeking to shield their wealth from taxation. This article delves into the incendiary ways in which rich exploit the art market to evade tax, to impact it has on public access to art, and the global implications of these practices. Like I was saying earlier, like the New York Art Exchange, that one show, like the guy went and bought everything, and it's gone. So even the art, I think, is actually art, is gone from everybody from the public. It'll never be seen again.
Right, yeah.
For all I know, it's laying in the bottom of the friggin' ocean.
Right, it might as well be, and then they'll just hang a Jackson Pollock up in a museum and say, this is art. This emulate art. This now, people.
So section one, the art market and tax evasion. The art market's role in tax evasion. The fine art market has transformed from a niche segment for collectors and commissionaries, which is people that pay for commissions, into a high-stakes investment arena.
Wow.
In recent years, the focus has shifted from art aesthetics and cultural values into pure financial potential. For the wealthy, art is no longer a symbol of status, but a versatile financial instrument. The transformation has opened the door for various tax evasion strategies, allowing the affluent to preserve their capital while minimizing their taxable liabilities. Art's unique... Do you understand what I've read?
I do, yes. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not sure if everyone will, but...
You want to try to explain it a little better?
I guess reread the line, then I'll translate it.
Okay, all of it? Or just that last line? For the wealthy, art is no longer a symbol of status, but a versatile financial instrument. This transformation has opened the door for various tax evasion strategies, allowing the affluent to preserve their capital while minimizing their taxable liabilities.
So for rich people, it's not about the art and the beauty in it. It's they're just using the art as an object
to hide money
through their taxes and through tax returns, really, because they're using these as tax write-offs to hide large sums of money that they then don't have to pay in taxes.
Art's unique attributes make it ideal candidate for tax evasion. It is portable, often appreciates in value, and most importantly, operates in a market that thrives on scarcity and a super lack of transparency.
Mm-hmm. So what? The art that they are buying or hoarding or whatever, it only is going to go up in value unless, of course, the piece is damaged, because that's how art works. It just goes up in value.
And it can go up after each estimate.
Or yes, what is after that each appraisal.
Appraisal, thank you.
After each appraisal.
It can go up again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get appraised in 8 months, and it can be double in value again. So
absolutely.
A piece you bought for $6 million by the end of a year can be 14 or 15 or 20 or 50
whatever
million
they want
dollars.
It to be. Whatever yeah. they want it to be.
Whatever they need it to be.
Yes, and... Which is nuts. It won't go down, like I said, unless there's damage or anything like that. Which name something else like that.
It's portable is a big part of it, too. You can buy a whole bunch of art and just stick it in a storage shed somewhere.
Yep.
So a lot of times, like I said, when they go in and they buy the whole art exchange, they're doing it, and they don't even care. They're just going to put it in a room until they need, like, all right, well...
Move some money around.
Call the appraiser and see what's in there, and I need $50 million worth of art to donate.
Yep. Wouldn't that be nice? Again, good thing. Normal, run-the-mill, everyday citizens have access to
so
do this is
what,
stuff.
So they used to do it with real estate, and now they moved on to art. Mm-hmm. So unlike real estate or financial assets, which are heavily regulated, the art transcriptions can be conducted privately, often leaving little or no paper trail.
Correct.
The opacity is what makes the art market particularly vulnerable to exploitation by those looking to evade taxes. So,
you know any famous artists that have sold any high dollar paintings off the top of your head? Can you name one?
No.
Hunter Biden.
Oh, wow.
He sold his paintings for like...
I thought you meant, do I know any?
Well, I mean, can you name any? How about that?
Okay.
Hunter, come on. You didn't know his famous art, his famous paintings? You think he's using that for this, what we're talking about? You think that's an example? Or you just think he's a really good artist that has high valued paintings or sought after paintings because is the talent behind it. You know, because hanging that piece of art on your wall will improve your quality of life. It makes your day better, I'm sure. Right? It's worth that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Ain't that nuts though? We're literally at the top of our government, like family, doing these art schemes.
Common schemes used by the wealthy. Wealthy individuals have numerous schemes to exploit the art market for tax evasion. The most potential methods are including the philanthropical disguise.
Mm-hmm.
By donating the art to museums and charitable institutes, donors can claim highly significant tax deductions. However, these donations are often grossly overvalued,
100%.
Allowing donors to reduce their taxable income Substantially.
Or sometimes 500%.
What?
You said they're overvalued. I said 100%.
Oh,
so wait, actually.
So the little chart they give here is 2,000 times value has been documented. 2,000 times original purchase value.
Ridiculous. Be like me just buying a TV, sitting on it for a couple years, pulling it back out. You know what? My guy says this TV I bought for $500 is now worth $2,000. Okay.
The fractional donations is the next little scheme they do. Before reform in 2006, art donators could give a percentage of the work to a museum, retaining physical possession and containing the benefits for tax deductions year after year. But this method allowed the wealthy to stretch these tax benefits over extended periods while retaining control over their assets.
Hmm.
So basically, they loan out pieces and still take the deduction, but still owned it.
Right. Yeah. Best having their cake and eating it too.
And there was some reform in 2006. It's really hard to do that one anymore, but they can still kind of do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just harder. So most of them don't bother with it.
So somewhere along the lines, one rich person pissed off another rich person. So they finally raised enough stink. All right, we need to close this loophole because Jerry over there,
Jerry,
he said something nasty about me and my stuff.
So the last one is like-kinded exchange. This method, borrowed from the real estate sector, allows art investors to defer capital gain taxes by exchanging one piece of art for one of similar value. This enables collectors to refresh their portfolios without incurring tax liabilities. This also helps increase the value of each piece.
Mm.
So basically, if you buy one for $6 million, I buy one for $6 million, and we appraise them both at $12
million. Mm-hmm.
When we trade them, we can then reappraise the pieces we got for $10 million, and then we can trade them back and reappraise them for $30
million. Oh, my gosh.
So it just keeps going up.
This, what a scheme. What a scheme.
Don't you like it?
Yeah, they just, no. I mean, no, I don't actually. Because I have a high, I like art. I like that stuff. It's what I went to school for. And this is just a mockery of that. And so is school, by the way. Unless you go to an art school, which I haven't been to one, but I went to school and did art. I went to Ohio State University. I don't care. It sucked. They don't care about art. They care primarily about taking your money. And they care about not hiring actual teachers to teach you anything. They shove grad assistants or grad students to head every single art class, and then they take that person to grade you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How's that make sense? On art, to grade you on art. So their subjective opinion determines your grade. And again, it wasn't based off talent at all in college. It didn't matter what your final product was. It was the thought behind it. I had a kid who showed up and carved notches into a stick. Just a knot. Took his pocket knife and just carved a notch on it. Brought it to class that day and taped it to the wall. And the teacher's, okay, so what's this represent? He said, every time I felt sad, I took a notch out of the stick. Yo, he didn't. He carved that on the way to class because he didn't have anything done. And he made that up on the way. And she ate it up. She ate it up, gave him an A. I was like, ma'am, this ain't art. There's no talent. There's nothing here. It's just a thought. I was mad. I was heated.
I can tell.
Heated. But this is the same teacher that would critique me because I would just put out whatever product. I always had a vision of when I was ever doing a product or a project, not product, project. What I want my final project to be, art project. I got to follow the rules of what the assignment was, and then I put out my final product as what I want. Well, what's the thought behind this? You know, those questions. And I just wanted it to look this way. Yeah, but what's the reasoning? for you to shut up is what I wanted to say. But I could, no, it's, that's, they didn't base you upon what your final product was. They graded you only upon the thoughts going behind it. So yes, I got, did not get a lot of good grades because I, one, refused to like bow down to their thought or what they said I should do with it. No, you need to do this. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm just following the directions. You don't need to add extra so you, to make it look like how you want it to look and then fail me for it. All right, whatever. Screw all of them. It all sucks. All the schooling, it just sucks. It's just a big money grab. And to make you not a functioning part of society, like as far as for your friends and family and neighbors and community, but to make you a proper functioning cog in the machine that makes you work 9 to 5 and work your life away and be a debt slave. That's what college is good for. So yeah, sorry. Off my soapbox for a second.
I was enjoying it. Key tax evasion mechanisms is section 2. So the philanthropical disguise. This practice, like I already said, uses art donations to secure tax deductions. Is one of the oldest and most common methods of tax evasion in the art market. U.S. Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, allows donors to deduct the fair market value of artwork you donate to qualified institutions such as museums, charitable organizations, so on and so forth. While this policy is designed to encourage philanthropical and support cultural institutions, it's been widely abused. So yeah, because there was a big problem at the turn of the 19th century into the 20th century of hoarding art. So museums couldn't get like pieces to put up.
Right.
Depending on what your museum, a lot of them, as, not as much now, but a lot of them were public. Like they're paid by their city or the state to be open. So it was one of the only like times that people that maybe didn't have a lot of money in life could go and see cultural things.
Right, yeah.
So this was kind of what the IRS did this for, is originally was to try to get some of those pieces out of the dragon's den and get them into public collections.
So people can actually see them.
Yeah.
And appreciate them.
And the rich were like, oh yeah, I like that. Let's do it tenfold and flood the market with horrible garbage.
Gosh, yes.
So how it works, the wealthy individual purchases a piece of...
Speaking of horrible garbage, you know what that is?
Coffee stains?
No, come on.
A paintbrush thing?
You don't know what this is?
I can't see. Okay.
That's a multi-million-dollar painting by Hunter Biden. $1 million.
Looks like the inside of a bunch of shells. What is it?
No, it doesn't. It looks like he spilled all his watercolors.
I was just going to say it looks like coffee stains.
That was just what was under his table after a binger.
Oh, there's literally Coke on it.
You're probably not wrong.
Okay, what was I reading? The wealthy individual purchases a piece of art, often for a fraction of the price they would later claim it is worth. The art is then donated to a museum. The donor obtains an appraisal starting at the work's value at a significant higher amount. This inflated value will then be deducted from the donor's taxable income, reducing their tax liabilities. In some cases, the donor may also negotiate conditions with the museums, such as retaining the rights to borrow the artwork for personal use or restricting the museum's ability to ever sell the piece.
Hmm. So it's bound up, basically.
Yeah, and it's so they can't get caught again.
Yeah.
A fractional donation, I already kind of explained what that is the same kind of thing as letting him borrow. So this, how this would work is a collector donates 25% of the painting's worth, $4 million to the museum, receiving a $1 million tax deduction. The following year, the collector donates another 25% to receive an additional deduction. The process continues until the artwork is entirely donated.
Wow.
Allowing the collector to maximize tax benefits over a long period of time. So if you're super, this is talking for normally super expensive pieces, so they can use it over many years.
Instead of just
one
year, then they can't use it again.
Yeah. So why is this abused? The primary issue is fractional donations, but the donors could claim deductions based on the current market value of the artwork, which often appreciates over time. This meant that the total deductions could well exceed anything worth an original artwork's appraisal.
Yep.
Additionally, museums are often reluctant to enforce the transfer of the remaining interest, allowing donors to keep the artwork indefinitely while reaping the tax benefits. Museums are too scared to push the issue for the final donation piece.
Yeah.
Because
they're rocking the boat.
Yeah. I mean, it could.
Because these people are funding them, that museum.
Essentially, yeah.
Yes. That's why. So, no, they're not going to yell at, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds.
But like I said earlier, in 2006, Congress passed reforms to limit the abuse of fractional donations. The Pension Protection Act introduced strict guidelines requiring the complete transfer of ownership within 10 years, capping the deductible at the original market value of the artwork at the time of the initial donation. So they passed a law that kind of ruined that.
I wonder who was the guy that rose that stink.
It says Thomas something right here.
Yeah, okay. No, he probably would be the one to, as part, I meant,
look it up.
I meant what rich guy raised the stink to make a politician write a law about it and then actually get it passed through.
I think in 2006, was that when the market collapsed?
No, it was in 2008, but it was right there, right before it, yeah.
It's probably because they were donating $80 million pieces of art, and yeah. They're like, no art exists that's much.
Right. Actually, now. There might have been a way to, well, maybe. Maybe that's a way for them to dump all their stuff, knowing that economy drop, you know, that
look
was
up
coming,
who was the
coming.
Big push for the Pension Protection Act.
Pension Protection Act?
P-E-N-S-I-O-N.
Protection Act.
I just was curious now.
The PPA tells the Secretary of Treasury to provide the further exceptions to the 10% penalty of withdrawing a retirement account before reaching proper retirement age.
So this is one of those things that's hidden in a different act.
Yeah, this is about your 401k, like when you're trying to pull that
out. Oh, which early. Tax deductions and all that stuff. So that makes sense why it's mixed into there.
Okay.
Like a big tax deduction, whatever act.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so this kind of got rid of that, and it caps it at 10 years. And whatever it appraised for originally is the whole value.
So
before 2006, you could keep appreciating it.
Yep.
Now after 2006, you can't.
Because
it was donated at is...
It says right here, charitable giving. The PPA includes provisions that affect charitable giving, such as donor-advised funds, scholarships, and grants, which I'm assuming that is also under the art.
Yeah.
Like charitable giving, donation.
Like-kinded exchanges, or the 1031 exchange, this tax deferral strategy, opting to design for real estate investors. It allows an investor to defer paying capital gain taxes on invested property when it is sold, providing another property of equal or greater value is purchased within a significant time frame. The art market adopted this practice, allowing collectors to exchange artwork without immediately triggering capital gain taxes.
Isn't this crazy? It's just like it's almost like the economy is just one big game of keep away, haves and have nots, and just manipulating that to keep as much people suppressed as possible and keep the wealth hoarded as much as possible.
So remember I talked about there's just warehouses full of art?
Yeah.
So that the rise of free ports.
Huh?
The rise of free ports, the thing I talked about earlier, free ports, that's these warehouses that are just stacked. And I have pictures of just all these art, like billions of dollars of art just sitting on pallets.
Just
inside of a warehouse. So let's talk about what free ports are. Free ports are secure, tax-free storage facilities, often located near international airports and or shipping hubs. They are designed to facilitate the storage and or transfer of goods, including fine art, without triggering customs duties and or taxes. These facilities are highly secure, climate controlled, and protected by strict confidentiality agreements, making them ideal for storing high value assets.
Hmm.
While they are attractive to the wealthy, the primary appeal for free ports lies in their ability to suspend tax liabilities. When the artwork is placed in a free port, it is considered in transit.
Okay.
Meaning it has not officially entered the country and is therefore not subject to taxes.
Oh my gosh.
This allows wealthy individuals to store valuable art collections without incurring any custom duties, sales taxes, or capital gain taxes.
Hmm.
So the scarcity of free ports. Free ports are notorious for their lack of transparency. Or sorry, not scarcity, secrecy. There is no requirements to disclose the identities of the owners of the content of their storage units. This secrecy makes free ports an ideal location for money laundering, tax evasion, concealment of illicit acquired assets, such as ivory and exotic animals.
Hmm.
When you find one of these free ports, not only is it just a giant tax evasion warehouse, there's probably human women in it.
Yeah, I would say remains and parts and, 100%. Probably kids, too, knowing some of these people. I look up, if anyone wants to have some fun, look up John Podesta's art he had in his house. That's some nice stuff. Who is John Podesta, you say? Oh, is the Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign manager. I'm not doing like political bias stuff. I'm just saying this is a person in power that almost got into significant power, did hold certain power in our government. And look at some of the art they're purchasing and moving. And just tell me something doesn't smell fishy here.
Wait to hear about this next one. The case study, the Geneva Freeport. The Geneva Freeport in Switzerland is one of the most famous and controversial free ports in the world. It is estimated that over $100 billion in art is stored in this facility alone. Much of it is forbidden and hidden from public view.
Jeez.
One notable example is Dertmi Rovatkit's purchase of Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi. Salvator Mundi? Leonardo da Vinci's S-A-L-V-A-T-O-R-M-U-N-D-I.
Mundi?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that, you know that painting.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The famous, like, Jesus one.
It's not Jesus, but...
depicts Jesus.
Yeah. Anyways, so the public was... one of the notable example is this guy, Dermonti, purchased it, which was stored in the Geneva Freeport to avoid Swiss import tax. He later sold the painting for a record-breaking $450 million, reaping substantial profits while minimizing any tax liabilities. So what he did is he bought it. He had it, quote-unquote, shipped to this Freeport. So he never paid purchase tax, never paid import tax.
Mm-hmm.
It sat in the Freeport until he sold it. He never paid sales tax, and the other guy never had to pay it.
Because it was never on U.S. technically soil.
And it wasn't even, it had nothing to do with the U.S. Okay. The guy never owned it. The guy never had it in possession. It was in transit for years.
That's what I'm saying. It was in transit the whole time.
Yes.
Wonderful. Smart.
The impact of art market and public access, the raise of Freeports significantly impacted the art market and public access to our culturally important works. As more and more art is hidden away in these facilities, it's become increasingly difficult for museums and the public to access and appreciate any modern masterpieces. Additionally, the concentration of valuable art in Freeports contributes to the confinements of culture, where the institutional value of art is overshadowed by its financial worth.
This is just almost makes you sick.
Yeah, it's horrible. I got one more little section. The impact on museums and public access.
Okay.
So why, you know, we talked about that these ones that are going for hundreds of billions of dollars or whatever are garbage. But real art that does exist, there are people making art right now. Why we'll never see it. And like I talked about with the New York Art Exchange, when the guy came in and bought everything, this 100% went to a Freeport or, you know, a similar facility. So that stuff's never going to see the light of day.
Right, ever. Yeah. Because they don't want people to see actual art, art beauty.
I don't even think they care. It's not that they don't want...
I think that's part of it.
I think for most people, most of these rich a-holes, it's just the tax thing. They do not see the art. They do not care. When they come in and they make face and they buy everything, it's not that they're taking it away from anybody. That thought never crossed their head, right? They're not conscious of other people.
Okay.
Billionaires aren't. They can't be.
Right.
You're not a human after a certain point. Like you've.
Yeah.
So there may be some nefarious with that side of it. I don't think there's tons of it. I think it's more that, these are loopholes.
For sure that, yes.
And art's portable.
Yeah.
It's small. You know, even big, huge paintings, when you look at it in a shipping container or a storage facility, it's tiny. It takes up very little space.
Well, that one, that Salvador Mundi one you were just talking about, is a 2-foot by 1-foot painting. It's tiny.
$500 million.
Like the Mona Lisa is tiny.
Isn't that about the same size?
Like I think so. I'm going to look.
24 by 36 inches.
I'll look before I say it for sure. But
so the effects on museums: the use of art as tax evasion not only deprives governments of much needed revenue, but it also affects the operation of museums. As wealthy individuals increasingly store art in Freeports and donate under strict conditions, museums find themselves with very, very limited access to these works. This reduces the availability to display significant pieces to the public and hampers their mission to educate and inspire. Reduced donations. Following the 2006 reform and curbed fractional donations, museums report a significant drop in the number of artwork being donated. Many donors have been more motivated by tax benefits rather than genuine desire to contribute to popular culture or public culture. This has increasingly diminished. Museums now struggle to acquire any new piece, particularly any of those that have any high value.
And that's even any that have high value.
High value is just here of anything over $5,000.
Right, yeah. And look who's appraising all this stuff.
Well, that's, you know.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm talking as far as a good museum, you know, they're just not a local, you know, up and coming guy, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying someone could have the most talent in the world and paint the most beautiful painting nowadays. And as long as the guy don't, like an appraiser don't want that, like, you're not in the system. You're not in the circle.
I forget her name. So it's horrible on me. But I just was watching a lady a couple nights ago. It does the most hyper-realistic paintings of humans.
Okay.
I mean, everything to skin imperfections. And I was watching her do hair on an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she does every hair with hair individually.
What do you mean with? Oh, she paints with hair.
She puts a hair in gray and puts it on. Like it's amazing watching her do it.
Isn't it?
The time. I mean, thousands of hours in one of these. And they're huge paintings. They're huge paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I just thought that was cool.
Is that going to be appraised in a museum for, you know,
millions of dollars? No.
Hell no. No, it won't.
I'm going to look up that lady here in a second.
Because she's not part of the group. She's not in the system. She's not Andy Warhol's circle of friends.
So, like I said, reduced donations, conditional donations, even when donations are made, they're often put with extremely strict conditions, strings attached. Donors may impose restrictions on how and when the piece can be displayed.
Hmm.
They may retain the right to reclaim the artwork under certain conditions whenever they want. This limits the museum's ability to curate exhibits and undermines the public's access to these pieces. It goes on to talk about basically that how they have trouble then if they're only allowed to, like some of these art, like they're only allowed to display it during July.
Okay.
But if they're trying to get other pieces from other museums to put it at the same time up, it makes it impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, even when the museums get these pieces under these conditions, they sit in the back in a box.
Right, absolutely.
They're not allowed to display them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Global impact. These issues surrounding art and tax evasion are not confirmed by any single, are not confined to any single country. The global pattern raises far-reaching implications. Wealthy individuals from all over the world use art to move assets across borders, exploit legal loopholes, and avoid taxes. And this has created an uneven playing field where nations are more lenient on tax laws and law enforcement. Attract significant portions of the global art trade, like Sweden. Or not Sweden, Switzerland. Sorry, Switzerland.
Okay. Global art trade. That's probably cover for the global art trade is probably a global child trafficking trade.
Oh, it happened. I'm thinking same people.
I'm sure it is. Exact same people.
Impact on developing nations. The impact on developing nations where resources are scarce. This affects art-related tax evasion can be particularly damaging. These countries are often lacking infrastructure to enforce tax laws effectively, making them vulnerable to exploitation by the ultra-wealthy individuals and corporations. Furthermore, the valuable culture artifacts that are increasingly traded and stored in free ports. They are removed from countries of origin, depriving their nations of their cultural heritage. So these literally, these
it's like NAGPRA.
Yes, but for the world.
Right, yeah.
They're setting up in these countries that can't defend themselves, essentially, and just stealing all their art.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're buying it. They may not even steal it. They're buying it for pennies on the billions of dollars.
Then they put it in a, what's it called? A port?
A free port.
A free port. Get it appraised 10 years later for about,
look at that lady,
$8 million. And then we're on our, wipe our hands, we're on our way, boys. No more taxes.
So that's what I have. So what do you got?
Well, how do you, so, I mean, all you got to do is just.
Kill them.
Oh, sorry. I'm on their perspective.
Oh.
All you got to do, guys, is just keep taxing them.
Water's not a right.
Keep taxing them. Well, how can we get by taxes? Well, we just do these little art, these little schemes. Come on, there's no way around it. There's all sorts of ways around it. We don't have to pay taxes. We do this art stuff and, you know, just bypass it all. Well, can't they do that too? No, you just don't. You don't let them in. You don't let them have access to this. It's got to cost money to get into these art appraisal shows. Come on. Ah, so we'll gatekeep them that way. Keep them out of there. And then we don't have to pay taxes and they get to pay all the taxes. And then you keep them suppressed because as long as they're paying taxes, it makes them hard to get out of their own like tax bracket or out of their working their class, whether it be lower class, middle class, doesn't matter. It's not our class and they're not getting in our class. This is where they belong. They need to do all this stuff so we don't have to, so we can do whatever we want. Right, guys?
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds fair.
Yeah. And then Jim over there, who was it, Tony or Jim? I don't know. He's screwing up the art thing. Yeah, we got to tax it now. Don't let him get away with it. He's only a millionaire. He's not a billionaire. He doesn't deserve the right to breathe our air. We should probably go out back and murder Jim because he doesn't have as much money as us. Who cares? We don't care. It's all right. It's taxpayer funded anyways, and we're not paying for it. You know how you become a billionaire is you just don't pay for anything, and you just let other people pay for everything. There you go. It's very simple. You want to know some other good art is Tony Podesta. I mentioned John Podesta in his paintings earlier. Do you know who Tony Podesta is, his brother? You ever heard of that name? And he's not a wrestler. Because you seem to make that association all the time.
I was going to do it again. I'm going to be real honest.
Well, Tony Podesta is a lobbyist. He's a founder of the Podesta Group, which is a big lobbying firm in the United States government. Huge. But, you know, he has a very famous statue or sculpture in his house. You know what this is? Mm-mm. It's the sculpture. Now, again, this is one of the biggest lobbying groups. His brother was in presidential campaigns. So they're very involved with our government. He has a statue hanging over the stairs in his house of one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims, where he hung his victim up, you know, by the ceiling, where his back's like all arched in a, like some demonic weird way. Well, Tony Podesta got that guy's body recreated out of gold. Ooh. And hung it from his ceiling like a
turn of my stomach.
Yeah, that, but it's real. Like he has these proudly displayed, taking pictures with it, showing off to people. It's one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims. He has proudly hanging in his house. And I don't understand how people can't just connect the dots here. It's they're showing you in plain sight that they're not good people. They're evil people.
I do want to, before
displaying corpses made of gold from a notorious, it's horrible serial killer.
The painter I was talking about was either Gina Beavers or Aubrey Flack.
I hope it's Gina Beavers. It's like that name.
I
better.
Feel like I remembered it. They both do kind of similar stuff.
Okay.
Not, I mean, it's both high, you know, high degree stuff, but it's same vein.
Right. Yes. Ugh.
What?
Well, you look at. This is crazy. So Tony Podesta, I was just on his page on Google, so I'm not, scroll down a little bit. People also search for. Here's the names. This is a group I want to be associated with. If someone, you know, Googles my name and that's people also search for, John Podesta is evil brother.
Oh, I thought that was the wrestler.
No. James Alifantis.
What's the wrestler?
I don't know, but nothing. There is no wrestler that I know of with the last name Podesta.
How do you spell it?
P-O-D-E-S.
You're too fast.
I thought Daniel could spell.
P-O-D-E-S-T-A. T-A.
Type in wrestler, and I'm sure nothing will come up. But another name associated with him is James Alifantis. You know who that is? We've talked about him before.
Okay. J-O-N-I. How do you say that name?
Joni?
Joni Podesta is a wrestler. A famous Olympic wrestler.
Oh, an Olympic wrestler.
I knew a wrestler.
Whatever. Yeah, you know your Greco-Roman wrestlers from the Olympics. What year? 1950-something?
No, this last year.
No, not this last year. Come on.
She won.
Yeah, you're making this up.
I'm not joking.
Show me then. Flip that around.
That's her.
Okay.
I think I heard her name on one of my podcasts I listened to about sports.
Maybe, because I have no idea who this person is.
Because wasn't the Olympics last year, 2 years ago?
Joni? I would say Joni. But James Alifantis.
Remember, she's been on TV a lot, too.
Do you recognize that name?
I'm sorry? Alifantis? Like an elephant?
James Alifantis.
Elephant?
Remember that name? We've talked about on this show.
Yes.
Who is it?
I don't know.
He was the guy, the head of Comet. He owned Comet Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ain't that weird? Another association with... Oh, wait. He had emails with John Podesta and Tony. These people exchanging art. And remember the art that was in the basement of the Comet Pizza restaurant. Just Google that. Check the art that's on the wall. And that
was pretty weird.
Very weird. Another name associated with John and Tony Podesta. Anthony Weiner. You know that name?
Yes.
That's the guy that had all the very graphic images on his laptop that they found of people very underage and very inappropriate things that someone should be locked away for a long time for. He was in our government. He's protected by people like that. Also protected, what's his name? That Harvey Weinstein, the same people that praised and protected him, protected Anthony Weiner. That's just weird. Like Oprah. Oprah praised Harvey Weinstein until he got in trouble. Then she has almost had nothing to do with him. And then another name associated with Maria Abramovich. The spawn of Satan herself, a devil worshiper that just likes doing blood rituals and pretending, quote unquote, to eat human beings and drink their blood with other famous celebrities. It's like they all flock to her. Check, look who people who they associate themselves with. Government denies, take long nights, you through the lies. Flat earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government.
government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Pop the grip, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the lethal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.